Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
We are talking Human Rights Day, and we wanted to find out how well we are doing. Professor Kalibogo Mponyo, who is a professor of African politics at the University of South Africa, UNISA, joins us this morning. Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you so much for inviting me, and good morning to the listeners.
So here's our question: is our democracy failing us, and is our economy putting our human rights and democracy at risk? Massive questions. Let's start simply. How are we doing with regard to South African human rights?
With regards to, and I'm glad you underscored the seriousness and the complexity of the two concepts. Democracy on the one hand and human rights on the other. How are we doing with human rights in South Africa? It's not easy. And even as the so-called experts and people who are studying these concepts, and myself in particular as a student of African politics and democracy in general, we argue and agree to disagree about, you know, how we are doing. On the one hand, there are what those that I would call optimists, and I sometimes fall into this group, who say that it's not all doom and gloom about democracy in South Africa, including human rights. On the human rights side, yes, we now have constitutionally enshrined human rights. This day in particular, you know, this used to be Shabbil Day, for all I know. And it was not even officially recognized by, you know, the former government. Mm. And now we have this day. It is part of our calendar. We are able to sit and reflect on the, you know, extent to which our rights have now been, you know, respected, whether we have the dignity in South Africa and so on, and of course in terms of the constitution. That's on the positive side. On the negative side, we tend to be, you know, rights inclined and not responsibility inclined. What do I mean by that? We are infatuated, sometimes too obsessed about, you know, I must have my human rights respected. But do you respect? Do you have the responsibility to ensure that those rights, you know, benefit everyone and are actually what they intended, you know, by the makers, the founders of the Constitution? So there are tipping problems on the one hand, but there are also successes. We no longer, you know, have the death penalty, which has been used willy-nilly by a government, which has just decided that this person, you know, is a terrorist and therefore he must be sentenced to the gallows. And the next thing, the person is dead. Only to find that later on they discover that actually we executed the wrong person. You know, things like those. And I know, touching on the issue of the death penalty, it's the hot potato also, because there are those who are saying, well, it must come back, you know, and there are those who say, no, it must stay where you are. It is because it was abused by the previous government. So we've got successes and, you know, teething problems. I wouldn't want to call them problems, but they are teething problems of a democracy that is slowly developing. The human rights that we talk about, obviously, in terms of the universal, you know, declaration of human rights internationally, we have to look at other countries. South Africa is doing not too badly, but it is also having difficulties when it comes to ensuring that the human rights that are now constitutionally enshrined are implemented, and the implementation is also in terms of the law. In other words, the law says there must be justice. Is justice being done? Sometimes the citizens feel that they are being failed by, you know, the practical manifestation of those human rights.
So when we look at the amount of corruption and we look at perhaps the lack of justice, we've had the Zondo Commission, but we haven't had prosecutions following that yet. Does that impact on our democracy and as it links to our rights?
It absolutely does. Yeah, you cannot have human rights on paper. You know, I don't know whether the listeners will remember that we used to have these concepts like, you know, a rainbow nation, and some call it a miracle democracy in 1994 because it has all these wonderful human rights on paper. Yes, but at that time, the rights have just been introduced. Now, if we look back, this today is almost 28 years since 27th April 1994, when there was this euphoria about the fact that, yes, we've got our rights, yes, we've got our freedom. And everybody was, ranting on about the fact that South Africa is going to be the best country in the world. Now, if you look back 28 years ago, that euphoria, I think, in my view, has waned off. Slowly it has waned, and then reality is setting in. That if you have commissions such as the Zondo Commission, by the way, there was another commission called TRC, you know, mm-hmm. Truth and Reconciliation Absolutely. Commission. Some of those people who were crying there, you know, explaining how their rights were violated by the previous government, have they, received justice? The jury is still out there, in my view. So not many of them have received the justice. In fact, some people were even talking about reparations. This is why we have this, you know, dilemma about the land. It's partly because the freedom and the human rights that were brought in, you know, ushered in 1994, have not actually been, you know, fully implemented. We are still having racism, happening in the far-flung corners of the country. The electoral system also is not that, you know, the ideal one, because we do have a proportional representation which tries to ensure that people are represented across the political sphere. But guess what? It is the very same system which ensures that we have lack of accountability from the public representatives. So the public representatives would rather account more to their political parties. Even the independents, there's this complaint that, yes, we have independent candidates, but they are not that accountable. So accountability still becomes a problem, but we have public representatives that are recognized by the Constitution. So the human rights that we have, yes, there are successes that we can point to, but there is still much to be done. Even the citizens themselves, you cannot refuse to vote for another party if your party or the party that you've always voted for is failing you in terms of the corruption that you're talking about. And yet, come after you've voted for that very same party, 3 months down the line, you want that candidate who was elected based on your vote. You want that person, you are going to toy to demonstrate outside their offices because you say that they must be removed. You know, I'm unconstitutional enough. They must be removed illegally, not according to the law. So citizens also, citizen education or civic education is still also a big issue that needs to be done about educating the citizens basically about their rights and their responsibilities, about the fact that yeah. if you want change, you need to vote for it, but don't say, I'm not going to vote, or don't bend tires and say, for as long as there's no water here, I'm not going to vote. Refusing to exercise your right to change a government, even when the need arises. That's where we are in South Africa. If you look at a country, for instance, like Zambia, Zambia has had, at least as we are counting, a third government since independence. Government elected and changed by the citizens. In South Africa, we have had one party dominant state, whereby we have had the African National Congress governing for all these years since 1994. Some people might say, well, why do you want to change it? Well, if the citizens are constantly complaining about services and all those things, perhaps they need to look at another party to change. Yeah. That's what democracy is all about. It's about multi-party democracy, not one party governing, even when people are not happy about it. So the Zambians have proven that it is possible. You can change a government without necessarily destroying democracy. It's a democratic dispensation. But the South Africans, I think, are at the stage where they are still very, very petrified about, considering, changing a party through the vote, even when they believe that party is not, helping them to give them the services and so on. This is where we are. And hence now we will have a Zondo Commission. People will be found guilty, or at least they will be proven to have, had their hands in the cookie jar. But are they wearing the orange overall? In fact, are we prepared as a state? Because as civil society and citizens of South Africa, we are all part of the state. Are we prepared to...
And to deal with those consequences, knowing that there might be.
Absolutely. Making sure that if I'm guilty, I must wear the orange overall, irrespective of whether I've got struggle credentials, whether I fought for 17 years in South Africa against apartheid in South Africa. There's neither here nor there. In the new dispensation, I've broken the law, and the law must be not only be seen, seen to be applied, but it must be applied to the poor, irrespective of struggle credentials or no struggle credentials.
It's absolutely right, and it's quite interesting because I read an article early this morning about Sharpeville and one of the residents saying, well, the only time that the government remembers us is on Sharpeville, is on Human Rights Day because of the Sharpeville massacre. And I was thinking, that is such a metaphor. excuse me, for what's going on. And it's exactly what you're talking about. So on paper, we've got the Sharpeville Day that becomes Human Rights Day, and we value it and we use it as a time for introspection. But actually, so it looks beautiful on paper, but the reality is that Sharpeville is only remembered on this day. Other than that, there's no service delivery in that area. People are living in the most appalling conditions. So it's really all just about a piece of paper and what we talk about, but not delivery. And that's so interesting what you're saying, because they all interconnect. Human rights, democracy, economy, our responsibility as responsible citizens of a country, all of that connects together to create the whole picture, and we can't separate them.
Absolutely. And talking about the people of Sharpeville in particular, I mean, the more than 60 people who were gunned down on March 21, 1960, in the 1960s, what it actually proves is that if you look at the place today, and the fact that even some of the citizens, the residents, are complaining that you only remember us on March 21. It's a tragedy, in my view, that 28 years later, we have not really, tried as much as possible to turn around, the miseries of the people of Sharpeville. And not only just Sharpeville, all the other places, because, by the way, there was Sharpeville, there was Langa, there was Nyanga, there was Kato Mano. Those places, when we go back to those places, remembering that this is what happened on this day in 1960. What do we think about? Do we think that those people have got all the freedom that we keep talking about, or is it just a mantra that we are ticking the box on Sharpeville Day, or on Human Rights Day, as we have renamed it? And it, by the way, it's not only just Sharpeville Day. There are others, like Soweto Day, 1976, when the students challenged the might of the apartheid government. We always go back there on the 16th of June, and then after that we forget. We go back to our cocoon, go back to our comfort zones. So, in terms of Human Rights Day, I think many citizens, many residents, are still very, very disappointed about the fact that they are not enjoying the fruits of the human rights that are enshrined in the Constitution. Basic like water, like sanitation.
Absolutely.
We still have pit latrines today. Why are we still having pit latrines when we have got so much money just in wasted thanks to the revelations of the Zondo Commission? And people are not wearing, orange overalls.
Absolutely right. Professor, we do need to leave it there. I can have this conversation with you for hours, because you are as passionate about this as I am. Professor Kalibogo Mapunye, who is a professor of African politics at the University of South Africa, UNISA, thank you for joining us and for bringing us such a fascinating and important perspective. 8:47, I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.